found this guy outside offering us free coffee. It doesn't take much to get in the studio if you got free coffee. Bill Flores here this morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. I didn't think I was going to make it. The elevator doesn't sound very good in this building anymore.
You know, and we're down to one, and they're working on it feverishly, but as you well know, it's a freight lift. It's not an elevator. The technology is, it's, you can't find somebody to just fix that. It's not, not like just a regular elevator. Speaking of that, should we be concerned that there was a power failure in D.C. that included several office buildings, including the White House? Does that surprise you?
Well, no, it doesn't. If you look at the infrastructure up there, excuse me, from the local utility company, it's pretty ratty.
Yeah.
And they've had issues in the past. The apartment building I live in is about 8 blocks from the White House, and it was without power for quite a while as well. So, you know, it seems to me like in the nation's capital we could do better, but it's a pretty bad utility. I mean, during the big snowstorms we had a couple of years ago, they had widespread outages all through Virginia and Maryland and the D.C. area.
But, I mean, we're talking about that. We're talking about the Secret Service. I mean, the Secret Service is supposed to protect the president and other important officials, and we really don't need them not doing their job, or the utilities either. It's concerning.
Well, it just shows you what I have to deal with. I mean, Washington is broken. I'm talking about culturally broken. You've got this heavily bureaucratic-oriented regime up there, and they think that they can propound things for the people in the real world to do. And but they're broken themselves. It's a really frustrating environment.
It is. We'll talk about your town hall meeting because I know you got one coming up later on this tomorrow. But let's first talk about the Iran deal. It obviously you have critics who say, well, there's no way you can hold them accountable. The people who like the idea say this is a good thing to do. We had a Reuters Ipsos poll this morning that said 31% of Republicans favor the current nuclear deal, 30% oppose it, and 40% are not sure. Again, these are Republicans. Don't know the methodology of the poll, but what are your thoughts there?
Well, I think if we give everybody a chance to really know what's in it, and unfortunately, most Americans don't know what was in it. I mean, this thing was negotiated behind closed doors by a bunch of people over in another country. And the president, administration and the State Department have been pretty opaque about what's in it and what's not. I mean, I'm just reading some analysis that came from the Foreign Affairs Committee yesterday, and it says one problem is there are two versions. The Iranians have one understanding of what was agreed to, and the P5 plus one group, with us being the one, of course, have a different understanding. And so that's one of the areas that's going to break down. The concerns I have are Israel's in the neighborhood, and it faces the Iranian situation more closely than anybody else. It is apoplectic about it, and so I'm inclined to defer to their understanding because they live in that set of zip codes. The other thing is that we still allow the Iranians to keep between 5,000 and 6,000 centrifuges. There is no reason that they need those. They can still have a nuclear program without that. You can buy fissile material from anybody else. Nuclear material for a medical nuclear operation if you need that, things like that. So they don't need it. One of the things that's really fascinating is if you run the clock back 20 years and listen to Bill Clinton's speech about the negotiations with North Korea. He said almost the exact same things that President Obama is saying today. What do we have today? We've got a nuclear North Korea that's mm-hmm. got missile capability, that's had several underground nuclear tests over the past handful of years. And so we did nothing to shut down their nuclear program. And this thing feels a lot like that. But Iran is, I mean, North Korea is bad enough, but Iran is a much more dangerous country to have the capability for nuclear weapons.
Bill Flores joining us in studio today. What's the indication that you get as far as American Jews? Because they've been a strong Democrat bloc in the past. Is that starting to kind of curl at the edges?
It really is. It's been amazing to me to watch how the American Jewish community has suddenly awakened and said, you know, we've always supported the Democrats, but suddenly they don't support our people in our homeland in Israel, and a lot of them are reassessing where they stand with respect to political support today.
Well, you know, in the Senate, they're trying to turn this around and veto whatever this agreement is. Obviously, it would take a two-thirds majority in both houses, House and Senate, to overturn that. And while it might pass in the Senate, What happens in the House? Because I'm sure leadership on the Democrat side wants to back the president, but at the same time, they want to say, hey, we're Congress and we have a say in this.
They are in a little bit of a tight spot, but I will tell you, Israel as a Jewish state is a source of bipartisan support in Congress, and I mean overwhelming bipartisan support. And so my gut tells me that if we were to have a motion of disapproval, a bill of disapproval, I think it would pass the House and Senate. I believe the president would veto it. I think we could override the veto. More importantly, if we go and do what I think we ought to do, and that's levy even tougher sanctions on Iran to tell the, until the point that they stop the nuclear program, I think that would pass the House and Senate. The president would veto it. And I think we'd have a fair shot of overriding a presidential veto. That, to me, is the better approach. I, for the life of me, I can't understand why the president has put all his political stakes in the ground on trying to cut a deal with Iran. I mean, if you look at the intelligence material I've seen, the Iranians are responsible for several hundred American deaths in Iran. They're the people that provided the technology and the shaped explosive charges for a lot of the IEDs that killed and maimed American soldiers. And I cannot understand why we're sitting down to negotiate with this bunch of terrorists.
I guess maybe that's his international legacy he's trying to build.
That'd be a pretty sorry one if you look at the way North Korea turned out.
Yeah. You know, I was it was fascinating to read the Wall Street Journal last week because they were expecting everything to be great. Fed was going to be able to make changes based on these great job numbers that were going to come out.
Oops.
And the job numbers didn't happen. So what are you hearing? What happened? How did we miss the ball here?
Well, what's happened is one of the things that's hard, if you're an economist and you're trying to predict labor models or economic activity, one of the wild cards is you can't predict the impact on business investment that's coming from the regulatory winds blowing out of Washington. And that's finally starting to catch up with American businesses. When I talk to people here in the real world, Brazos Valley in District 17, and they talk about how many hundreds of pages of new federal regulations are coming out every week, they're frustrated. And so they're just slowing down their investment. They're slowing down their hiring. And someday, you know, folks like me are paying attention to this, but someday we're going to get the rest of Washington to pay attention to it. Now, I will tell you, I've got an app for that. I've been working on with the Republican Study Committee, and if you want to go through that, we can do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Well, then we would.
How about a segue?
Okay. Yeah. And we'll do that in just a second.
Okay.
One last thing, though. I want to talk about the federal judge one more time. The Justice Department came to him, asked him to reconsider on the immigration policy. He said, I'm not going to do it.
Oh, you know, you've got to applaud Judge Hannon. By the way, he's a Texas 17 guy. He went to high school in Waco.
Okay.
And I applaud his decision. And he was nonplussed by the way the Justice Department has behaved with him, and because he said, you have misled me. If you, you've gone farther than what you said you would do, and you told me you hadn't, and you said, and then you tried this cute advisory to try to correct the misstatements that you made in earlier hearings, and he was not happy, and so he told the president, no, I'm not accepting your motion.
Not no, but heck no again.
Yeah. Fifth Circuit's going to be looking at this in a few days. I'm looking forward to see what they say.
So what they have to say about that. Yesterday we were talking about how we're probably going to hit record gas production simply because all the tanks are full. I mean, we've got to process this stuff. What is that going to mean for us? Are we going to have low prices on gas during the summer, and what does it mean for the oil industry here in Texas in the next 90 to 120 days?
Well, and the oil and gas folks that I've talked to, first of all, it's going to be good for consumers. It's going to be good for the economy. So one economist I talked to said low gasoline or low energy prices are like sprinkling fertilizer on the nation's GDP. So that's good. On the other hand, we're going to see a period of underinvestment or lower investment from the oil and gas industry over the next few months, maybe years, because of these low prices. I think this is one of the reasons we need to, it's one of the reasons we're looking aggressively at opening oil exports up in this country again for the first time since the 70s.
What do you see that doing in the 17th Congressional District?
In terms of, well, you know, we're not a heavy oil and gas district. We have, in the southern part of the district, down here in Brazos and Robertson counties, we have some of the northeastern extensions of the Eagleford play that are up here. And so I think on the margin, you're going to see lower hotel room utilization. You're going to see fewer people at restaurants. But I don't think it's going to make a big difference in terms of economic activity. Where I do think it could make a difference is in terms of school district tax revenues and also county and city tax revenues. I think those will see a more dramatic decline. But I think most of our local jurisdictions have been pretty smart about the way they spent that newfound money that was coming in. I don't think they went out and overextended themselves. So I guess the net-net I'd say is I see us going down to a more moderate growth level. I don't see it becoming a negative growth. I mean, I don't see us having negative economic growth.
Bill Flores with us in the studio today. You had a couple of town hall meetings. You've got one here in Bryan College Station tomorrow. What have you heard so far?
Well, one of the things that's been fascinating, you know, I always start these town hall meetings by asking the audience what they consider the most important problem facing America today. And typically, jobs and economy and federal spending and deficits have been number one and number two. We've always asked about national security and America's perspective around the world and so forth. And that one has jumped up to number two now because Americans are feeling less safe than they did just a year ago. This whole rise of the Islamic State has really gotten most people in real-world America spooked, and they don't have any confidence in what the president in Washington are doing to try to deal with it.
Well, I think, again, this is the first enemy that we really haven't known how to fight. American might was enough up until now. Now that's it's the neighborhood terrorist situation, I think, that scares people a lot.
Well, that's part of it. But the other question, too, is what is American might? And I think that the sequestration has really hurt the American military. When I go out around the world to visit with our military men and women, they're doing the best they can, but I can tell you they're complaining that they're tired and that their equipment's worn out and they can't get enough to repair it and our readiness is at low levels. And so they're committed. I mean, they're in the fight, but they are frustrated. And so if you look at the budgets we passed in Congress the week before last, we're plussing defense back up. We're going back to Reagan's model of peace through strength.
Sure. Okay, so tomorrow night is your town hall meeting, and if folks want to be there, then you certainly invite them out. And I think rides are going to be made available. I think I saw that in the paper today, that they're going to have for people who can't are not mobile themselves, that they'll be able to get them there. Where's it going to be?
It's going to be at Rudder High School at 6 o'clock.
Okay.
We're also going to have a telephone town hall tonight for the folks that live in Travis County in the western part of the district, as well as the rural counties. We had one in Waco on Monday night as well.
Okay, and obviously, talking to somebody who went through West just yesterday or a couple of days ago, it's amazing what has happened in that city.
What a hearty bunch of people up there. I mean, that's a great community, and despite the devastating losses they incurred, that city is coming back, and it's going to be better than ever. It's just a great community, great bunch of folks. I love representing people like that in this district.
Okay, and you've got an app now. Okay, so what's the app story?
Okay, here's the deal. Okay. So if you look, Americans are frustrated because Congress can, let's say the FCC comes out and is going to regulate the Internet with a 1930s law.
Okay, let's say
it does.
Okay, all right.
You know, even though it doesn't have statutory authority, but the president says he wants to regulate the Internet.
Yeah.
So, you know, the House can pass a bill to undo that, and then the Senate might pass it, but it needs 60 votes, so in all likelihood it wouldn't pass. Or if it did pass, it goes Senate, and the Senate veto it. So, the reason I'm frustrated, the reason Americans are frustrated, because the president really doesn't get stopped. I mean, we in the House are doing our job to try to stop him, but it doesn't happen. So what we're doing now is I have a group of people in the RSC, the Republican Study Committee, that are putting in dozens and dozens of amendments to clip the wings of the regulatory agencies, to clip the funding. And now, we're not going to be successful in getting all these through because the Senate will catch some of them. But a lot of these are going to wind up in appropriations bills, and you're going to start to see us clip the wings of the IRS and the EPA and the Fish and Wildlife Service and all these people that are making life tough on real-world America. And just by changing the way they can use the funding or reducing their funding or limiting their ability to spend money on particular activities that they're involved with, like the FCC and net neutrality. So it's not a perfect deal, but it's about the best solution we've got. In a divided, when I still look at Congress as being divided since we don't have 60 Republican votes in the Senate.
Okay. Bill Flores joins us most every Wednesday and sometimes even right here in the studio. I appreciate you coming in, bringing us the coffee this morning, and we'll look forward to hearing from you again soon.
You bet. It was great to be with you in person, and I'd ask our listeners to continue praying for our country, our military men and women, and our first responders.
All right. Thank you.